appellant, please.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Attorney General Richard Resort. I represent the appellant in this case, Staff Sergeant Ruben Vargas. With the court's permission, I'd like to reserve 3 minutes of my time for rebuttal.
Granted.
Thank you, Your Honor. In United States versus Browers, this court addressed the issue of whether the denial of continuance requested so that the government may produce a material witness constituted the exclusion of evidence such that it would allow an appeal by the government under Article 62. And in that case, this court held that the answer was no.
Would you agree or disagree with the proposition that there are really two issues embedded in the assigned issue?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so there's the continuance and then there's the sui sponte arresting of the case or whatever.
Yes, sir. There is the motion for continuance and then there is the military judge's arresting of the government's case.
And are you arguing that Brower controls both?
No, Your Honor. I'm arguing that Brower controls the issue of continuance. However, turning to the issue of the order arresting of the case, the same analysis is going to apply regarding whether it was a case management order or whether it directly excluded evidence or whether that order was simply an incidental exclusion of evidence.
Which was it? You gave three options.
Incidental, Your Honor.
Incidental exclusion of evidence is the option?
Not exclusion of evidence, Your Honor. It was not an exclusion of evidence such that an Article 62 appeal would lie.
What is the test? Is it a direct, indirect test? What is it?
Well, Your Honor,
what's the test for what constitutes an exclusion of evidence that gets it into 62?
Well, Your Honor, the test is, does it limit the potential pool of evidence and whether the order directly excluded evidence?
Directly. Is it a direct, indirect test?
Yes, Your Honor. In order for the order to be appealable, the order has to directly exclude
evidence.
Otherwise, it is not an appealable order. And in this case, neither the order denying the continuance nor the order resting the government's case were a direct exclusion of evidence.
Then what did the military judge mean when she said, absent appellate intervention, the government will not be allowed an opportunity to present additional evidence in their case in chief?
Well, Your Honor, I think what she meant was when she rested the case, that means in all cases when the case is over, no more evidence can be presented.
And but she ordered the case rested.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And as a result, the government will not be allowed an opportunity to present additional evidence in their case in chief.
Well, yes, Your Honor, that's correct. But the purpose of the order was not to exclude the evidence. That was simply an indirect effect of the order. The purpose of the order was to control the trial. When the military judge was faced with a trial counsel who refused to present any more evidence and also adamantly refused to rest his case, well, the military judge then has the duty to control the proceedings of the trial and made an order to prevent any further delay in the trial in order that the case was rested.
Now, did the military judge actually issue an order that the case was rested, or did she just recognize that under the circumstances that was the result?
That's correct, Your Honor. After giving the trial counsel the option to present more evidence, ask the trial counsel, do you have any more evidence to present? No. Do you rest? No, we don't rest. You may present more evidence or rest, and the government still continued to refuse to present any more evidence or rest. The military judge simply stated in that case, your case is rested. And that has been interpreted as the order rested the case or that she rested the government's case for them.
Is there anything in the record indicating why, when they came back the next day to do the 39A, which is, after all, the next day that the witnesses were available, why they didn't just proceed with the witnesses?
Well, Your Honor,
seems sort of odd.
The way the trial had proceeded was the previous day when the request for the continuance was denied, the case was ordered, rested. During a recess, the trial counsel convinced the military judge that she was wrong not to grant them a stay to pursue an Article 62 appeal. Once they convinced her of that, she did agree to stay the trial. So the trial was stayed. The government then submitted an email later that night saying that they were not going to appeal the...
No, I get all that, but it does seem sort of... I'm not sure what the legal issue here is, but it seems sort of odd that we're here months later because there was... The trial wasn't continued till the next morning. The trial reopened the next morning in any event. And for some reason, the judge continued to say, you can't present your witnesses, even though we're now in the day when they would have been available.
Well,
that's not a statement. It's what's going on here? This is sort of nutty.
Well, the next day, they reopened the court the next day in order to hear the government's a motion for reconsideration of the order arresting the case, so that.
Were the witnesses there that day, or could they have been available that day?
The witnesses were there that day, and did actually present the stipulation of expected testimony of what they would have said.
Well, but the government wasn't ready anyhow, was it? Because they had the wrong guy.
That's correct, Your Honor. That is certainly evidence that the government was unprepared for this trial, that after...
I mean, had the judge done nothing and the trial gone in the second day, what would the government have done? They didn't have the right guy there.
Well, they had three witnesses.
One of
who was the wrong person who apparently had traveled back from Afghanistan for the purpose of nothing.
That's correct, Your Honor. So there was a witness that turned out after 8 months and six continuances, the government hadn't even done the most minimal effort and preparation to find out that this individual was not the individual that they thought he was. He had no testimony to present. And again, that is simply evidence that the government was not prepared. As to the other two witnesses, those witnesses had not been subpoenaed by the government. The government made no effort to make sure they were there when they could have been there on the first day of trial. And the reasons given were that the 911 operator had to work that night, so she had to sleep, so they scheduled her for the next day. And the doctor had to see patients, so they didn't want her to reschedule the patients. In other words, they were putting the schedules of those witnesses first. And that's why we're here, Your Honor, today.
Counsel, based on your approach, are the appellate courts here, the CCA in this court, completely handcuffed if we were to have a rogue military judge? Let's say that the military judge wants to proceed and trial counsel were to say, I'm getting that witness, it'll be 15 minutes. And this military judge says, no, either you're proceeding right now or you're resting your case. Is there no means by which we or the CCA could address that situation?
Well, Your Honor, I believe you have to look at the specific facts of the case and analyze it as to whether it was a case management order, what the purpose of the order was. Now, if the military judge was refusing the 15-minute continuance to allow a witness to testify because she felt that the testimony were inadmissible, and that is why that's basically a ruling of inadmissibility and excluding that evidence.
No, I'm saying that it's a situation just like this brought to the extreme, where the military judge is saying, no, I'm not going to grant any recess or delay. Either your witness is here or you need to rest your case. And we're dealing with a binary situation where we're not looking at abuse of discretion. We're addressing the issue of jurisdiction or no jurisdiction. So my question is, if we were to be confronted with that situation where, for lack of a better term, we have a rogue military judge doing something like that, is there no means by which we can ensure that there was the due administration of justice in that
case? Well, again, Your Honor, looking at the order of the judge, if it is a case management order, deference is given to judges to schedule the trial, to handle the proceedings of trial. So the short
would there be jurisdiction for us to review it if, for example, on day one there is a traffic thing and the witness was not available and the judge said there's been 8 continuances already, your witness is not here, government, I'm fed up, and you're now rested your case? According to your analysis, there'd be no way to review that, correct?
Counsel, I think the question, just to be clear, is other than Article 62, okay, your argument is that this is not appealable under Article 62 because it's not an exclusion of evidence, okay? And I think that the question now is, Article 62 aside, is there any other mechanism by which the government could appeal an arbitrary action if saying it was an arbitrary action by a military judge?
Well, Your Honor, of course, that would be for this court to answer whether an extradite would lie from the government. But the general rule is that statutory jurisdiction cannot be expanded by an extradite. So under that, I can't answer the question. The court would answer that question. But it would appear that they could expand the Article 62 jurisdiction using an extradite, if that answers your question. Now, in this case, United States v. Browers controls, but this court more recently decided United States v. Wooderidge. And in Wooderidge, it did not overrule Browers. This court did not overrule Browers. Rather, it reemphasized that denial of a continuance in a case that had languished involved a scheduling matter, and therefore was not a direct exclusion of evidence. So therefore, under United States versus Wooderidge and United States versus Browers, the analysis is the same. Both of these orders are not appealable orders. Further, this court does not need to look to the federal courts for guidance, since you have the precedent of United States versus Wooderidge and Browers. But even doing so, looking at United States versus Watson, that also held that that was a very similar case in the sense that it was a request for continuance that was denied. And it held that that was a case management order that was not appealable. And in fact, there have been no cases under the federal statute, 18 U.S.C. 3731, where the denial of continuance has been found to be an appealable order. And that is even though that statute is more liberally construed according to the language of the statute. So in this case, United States versus Browers controls, and neither order is an appealable order, and the appellant asks that this court reverse the lower court's decision. Reinstate the decision from the military judge. If there are no further questions, that concludes my argument.
Thank you, counsel. Counsel for the government, please.
Good morning. May it please the court, Chief Judge Baker. My name is Lieutenant Ann Dingle. Along with Mr. Brian Fuller, I represent the United States in this matter. This was not an unappealable scheduling order, but was instead an exclusion of evidence by the military judge. The military judge herself rested this case on day one of a 3-day trial that had previously been scheduled, then continued the trial.
What is the test?
Yes, Your Honor.
Same question I asked them. What is the test for what's appealable? What is the test for the exclusion of, what constitutes the exclusion of evidence?
The test is whether the ruling at issue in substance or in form has directly rather than incidentally limited the pool of potential evidence that would be admissible.
So you agree with the appellant that it's a direct indirect test?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
This court must look at this ruling in the trial judge's characterization of his own action cannot control the classification of this action. And the court should instead focus on the effect of the ruling rather than the label placed upon it. Now,
well, if we do that, aren't we saying that we're not going to look at direct versus indirect? If we're looking at what the effect, right, then that's saying it's not a direct versus indirect test, it's an effect test, which is to say it's indirect is good enough.
No, Your Honor. I would look at whether or not the only reason that this evidence was excluded was as a result of that ruling. And if you're looking to compare this this case to Woodridge or Browers, I would argue that this case is even less like Browers than Woodridge, because in Woodridge, where the motion was to quash a subpoena, there the end result of reversing that order would still, whether or not that would produce admissible evidence was still unknown, because it was
But that was an evidentiary ruling, was it not?
No, Your Honor. It was a motion to quash a subpoena.
But quashing a subpoena, which would limit the pool of potentially admissible evidence.
So that
pretty much fits the test there. And in this case, we don't have a similar type ruling. We have a continuance.
Your Honor, we have a continuance plus resting the government's case.
Well, do you think the government's allowed to refuse to do one thing or the other? The military judge says, put on your next witness. The government says no, because they don't have a witness there. And can they do that indefinitely?
No, Your Honor. I don't think that the government can indefinitely refuse to put on evidence.
Well, how long can how? What's the time period?
Well, here, Your Honor,
the case was scheduled to proceed on that day, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
And that day had been scheduled for some period of time, correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
And they had asked for a continuance, and the military judge had denied it, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
And they denied it, and he or she denied it more than that moment, so they knew that the trial was going to proceed, correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
And whose responsibility is it to have witnesses here when the trial begins?
It is the government's, Your Honor.
Okay, so the military judge says, I mean, in effect, we're here, the trial's begun, put on your evidence. And the government says, we don't have any evidence to put on.
Your Honor, here, I think the way to look at this is that the trial judge had ordered this trial, had docketed this trial for 3 days. Now, the trial counsel obviously maybe didn't accurately assess the amount of time that their witnesses would actually...
Well, there's members there, right? I mean, this is a members trial.
It is, Your Honor.
So is it unreasonable for the military judge, when all the members have been taken from their military duties, to expect the government to proceed immediately on day one of the trial when the members are there ready to hear evidence?
Your Honor,
I mean,
let
me just finish, counsel. You're acting as though the military judge here took some unprecedented, crazy action, leaving aside the realities of the actual trial.
The military judge actually reopened the trial on the second day, Your Honor, and the witnesses were actually waiting outside. And so at that point, the witnesses were readily available. Now, if she had...
I'm not talking about that day. I'm talking about the first day. The first day when the case was scheduled to begin, when the members were there, when the military judge told the government to proceed, and they couldn't. I'm not talking about day two.
Well, the military judge, Your Honor, under RCM 611, also has the is charged with preventing undue harassment of witnesses. And in what...
How is this harassment?
Protecting the witnesses from undue harassment and embarrassment, Your Honor, and avoid wasting time. Now, you could argue that...
Well, who's wasting time here? Government put on your evidence. Well, they aren't here. And even the next day. So we put on Foley. It turns out Foley's the wrong guy. The government has spent months saying we've got to have Foley, we've got to have Foley. Here's Foley. Oops, it's not Foley. We need this other guy.
Yes, Your
Honor. What is that? What's going on here?
Understood that that definitely does look bad on the government's
part. Well, it looked more than looked bad. It shows that the government is not able to proceed whether the witness is there or isn't there.
Was there an order on the second day of trial that the government is appealing at this time?
Your Honor, the military judge reaffirmed her ruling resting the government's case on the second day of trial.
And where is that manifest in the record so that when we're going back and saying, okay, we're not dealing with the continuance order from, I don't, are these Friday, is this Friday, Saturday, or what days are we dealing with?
I'm not sure of the exact.
Day one, day two.
Day one, day two.
If we're saying we're not dealing with the continuance order from day one, but the government has argued that there's an order from day two that is being reviewed, what is that order and where is it manifest in the record?
I believe it is on page 214 or 215, Your Honor, where the military judge heard the government's motion to reconsider her resting their case and then reaffirmed her ruling resting their case. And notable about this reaffirmation is that at that time, the government's witnesses, including the two... the 911 operator, as well as the doctor, were all waiting outside to testify at that time, whether it be on the motion or on the merits of the case. And none of these witnesses were allowed to testify on that day. Thus, the direct result of the military judge's ruling at that time was to exclude evidence. Now, whether or not this was pretextual could be argued, but from the military judge's tone at the time, it appeared that she was making this ruling to exclude evidence.
Do you think the military judge's objective in making the ruling was to exclude evidence?
Yes, Your Honor.
That was the intent in the government's view?
It appears that way from
based on her tone?
Yes, Your Honor. Repeated references to lack of respect on the trial counsel's part, lack of preparedness or general unhappiness with the government at that time.
Well, that's not... Does that go to excluding evidence or does that go to case management? Lack of preparation, delay, endless continuances, that sounds like case management. It doesn't sound like excluding evidence.
Perhaps, Your Honor, many of those continuances were in fact requested by defense.
I realize that.
However, in this case, if the judge had in fact, I believe, rested the government's case on the first day and then not reopened the case the next day.
The government asked her to. The government asked her to reconsider.
Yes,
she reconsidered.
Yes,
she did exactly what the government asked her to.
That's
and then she reaffirmed her ruling.
Yes, Your Honor.
So therefore what?
The issue is the timing of her reaffirmation and the fact that those witnesses were exactly available. This is no different than if the government's witnesses were, for example, stuck in traffic coming onto base and were about to be 10 minutes late and the military judge denied a 10-minute recess and said, no, government, you're done. Your witnesses are not here when they're supposed to be here. I'm resting your case for you.
Sorry. What's your answer to Judge Olson's question about the rogue judge? Do you remember the rogue judge question?
I'm sorry.
Was a sort of a three-person winged formation question, which had to do with what if the military judge had, a military judge had sui sponte, stood the government's case down before any evidence was entered?
Yes, Your Honor.
Would that be subject to Article 62 appeal or not? Is that a fair characterization of your question?
I think this would, that would absolutely be subject to Article 62.
Why?
Because the direct result of the judge's order in that situation is that the government is prevented not just from presenting some evidence, but all evidence. In this situation, whether or not, regardless of whether or not the special agent would have been allowed to testify, which was not ruled upon during the trial, there are still two important witnesses that were not allowed to testify as a result of this ruling.
Let me ask you a different question. Waiver. Why isn't this waived? Waiver is the intentional relinquishment of a known right. Trial counsel in writing said, we are not going to appeal under Article 62. Instead, we want you to reconsider. Judge did it. Then government said, oh, well, maybe we are. Why isn't that waived?
Your Honor, here, the military judge actually reaffirmed her ruling.
That's not my question. Why isn't the government's right to appeal under Article 62 waived by the trial counsel in writing, communicating to the judge and defense counsel and saying, we are not going to pursue an Article 62 appeal. We want you to reconsider, which she did. Why is the Article 62 not waived?
Your Honor, I don't know if we actually cited this case, but under United States v. Neal, the government has 72 hours.
Government, under the rule, the government has 72 hours, but the government also has to cut square corners. And when the government says, we're not going to do it, is it like a statement back in the 70s simply inoperative? Never mind. Is the government's statement it's got not going to appeal inoperative?
Yes, Your Honor, because the government, although the government originally said that they were not going to appeal, they still had that 72-hour period in which to change.
Okay, in other words, the government can say anything it wants during the 72 hours, as long as before the 72 hours is up, they say the right thing.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
What was it the government said they weren't going to appeal?
I believe originally that the government said that they were not going to appeal the continuance. So, as a follow-on to that, the government did not appeal the continuance, but rather appealed the continuance and the government's resting of the case.
Are we here today only talking about the order resting the case?
Well, Your Honor, in the government's notice of appeal, they specifically appeal the government's resting of the case, or the military judge's resting the government's case, but they also discuss the continuance in that notice of appeal.
Well, okay, but what are we supposed to be looking at if you discuss it? Is this part of your argument? Is this something you want us to look at and look at the law on continuances, or should we look at just the resting aspect?
Well, Your Honor, I believe that you should look at not necessarily what the order was characterized as, but what the effect was. Here, I would, if you were to look at the continuance versus the resting of the case, obviously you look at the government's military judge's resting the case. That was the second order. That's the most recent order in time in the record of trial. However, taken as a whole, looking at the military judge's orders as it affects these witnesses, again, look to whether or not these orders are the practical equivalent of an exclusion order.
Well, counsel, why don't we ask whether or not it was the government's failure to have the witnesses available when the trial was scheduled to proceed that had the practical effect of excluding evidence? I mean, you appealed this under Article 62, and it simply, I mean, it's an observation. This doesn't seem like a very good vehicle for you to be raising this issue. I mean, these facts don't exactly favor the government, do they?
Well, Your Honor, although it is the government's responsibility to adequately plan their case ahead of time, this case was scheduled for 3 full days.
Well, that's fine. All right, that's fine. But, I mean, if I was a military judge and all this had gone on over these periods of months, right, and I wanted the case to proceed and the government had nothing to present, it's not clear to me why this is the military judge's fault. Why you're saying that they excluded evidence when, in fact, it was the government's own actions that caused the trial to end because they had no evidence to present at the time that the military judge desired to proceed. And so, I mean, you can flip this anyway to say, oh, it's this and it's that, and it has the indirect effect and it caused this to happen. But it seems to me that the actual primary cause of the evidence not being presented was the government's failure to prepare.
Well, Your Honor, unlike Browers or even Woodridge, there was no question that these witnesses were going to be available on the second day of this
But who gets to control the trial schedule? The government or the military judge?
The military judge, Your Honor. Now, the military judge did state that her decision was not based on the court schedule, the court docket, and so it's clear that she was not making this ruling in order to clear the docket, for example, for another trial. This was simply a decision, an order on her part to rest the government's case in order to.
She rested the government's case because the government refused to present additional evidence, and it refused to do either. I mean, it essentially, you know, held its breath. Till it turned blue. I'm not doing this and I'm not doing that. What's the military judge to do? Well, the members sit there.
The military judge's ruling in this situation was so unreasonable as to not allow the trial to proceed to at least the second day of this previously scheduled trial.
The issue of abuse of discretion isn't before us.
No, I understand, Your Honor. But the issue of what this ruling is characterized as is. And in this situation, again, the trial judge's own characterization of the action cannot control the classification. And the government infers that in this situation, the trial judge may have characterized this as a denial of recess and resting the government's case, but what it actually was an exclusion of those last 3 witnesses.
Counsel, let me try again on the distinction between the continuance and the order resting the case. The CCA considered both in their conclusion, in their conclusory paragraph.
Yes, sir.
Is that what you want us to do, or do you want us just to look at resting the case?
No, Your Honor. I believe that this court should look at those 2 rulings.
As kind of all in?
Okay. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Now, it is clear, and the military judge acknowledged in her findings, that each of these witnesses would testify to evidence that was substantial proof of a material fact in the proceedings. And moreover, the military judge does have the ability under RCM 913C5 to reopen the government's case after the defense rests. Now, as a matter of discretion, obviously, but here, the government did not voluntarily rest their case. The military judge did it for them.
Are you summarizing because your time is out?
Yes, Your Honor. In conclusion, the ruling in this case was clearly a ruling which directly excluded evidence. Although it did not discuss inadmissibility of witnesses, the direct result and the only reason that these witnesses did not testify was the military judge's order resting the government's case. As such, this court should find that CCA properly had jurisdiction.
Thank you, counsel. Counsel for the appellant has rebuttal.
We'll waive rebuttal and submit the case.
Okay. Without requiring you to admit this, in the event there were an order that excluded evidence, would the evidence in this case be proof, substantial proof of a fact material in the proceeding?
Well, Your Honor,
stipulating for the purpose of the question that you have prevailed, that there is no order and it is not excluded evidence. But if I were giving you a law school exam and in the abstract I said you have a physician who's going to come in and testify to blank, would you characterize that as substantial proof of a fact material in the proceeding or not?
Yes, Your Honor.
So that's not the issue here?
That's not the issue.
Okay.
But of course,
that's what I'm getting at. Is
as to, and I would only stipulate to that as to the doctor and the 911 operator.
Certainly not the wrong person coming back from Afghanistan.
That's right.
But you would with the 911 operator as well?
Your Honor, I don't know if there's enough in the record to determine what, if she could have authenticated the 911 tape, but assuming...
Okay. Stipulate. Yeah, okay.
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you for that. Any other questions in rebuttal? Okay. The court thanks both counsel for the argument. The case is now submitted, and we stand in recess until further order of the court. Thank you.
All rise.
The court is adjourned until further order of the court.